It is time for that broadcast spotlighting Feed My Sheep Ministries in the city of Fresno. Feed My Sheep is a church in West Fresno. It is outreach to the community. It is a men's rehab home. It is a women and children shelter. It is a place to connect people with jobs. It's a place to train people for jobs. And it just goes on and on and on and on and on. The gentleman who juggles all those plates on a daily basis is the founder and the director of Feed My Sheep Ministries, Bruce Hood. Well, there he is right across the table from me.
Hello, Ken. How are you today? And it's good to be back again. Always good to see your smiling face and hear your comical character.
Am I a comical character?
Well, I don't think there's another Ken Adams in the whole world.
Well, by the same measure, there's only one Bruce Hood, and you're the best Bruce Hood we have.
That's the way it's supposed to be.
Specifically equipped for the work of the ministry that they've been assigned to. It's kind of unusual. We're recording this on late Thursday afternoon, the 31st of January. We're actually sitting outside. We haven't been outside in months.
Pretty nice day today, though, Ken.
Very nice day today. The sun was shining. It was gorgeous. And, you know, even with the shadows getting long here, it's nice to be outside for a change.
This is the first day in a long time I've had to take off my coat.
Yeah, I noticed. You're in shirt sleeves right now.
Yeah, but it's starting to cool off, so it's time to put it back on here in a little while.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But it was a very nice day today.
Yeah.
Good day to do our outreach.
There you go. And you probably had a very full day today.
Always have full day, Ken, but they always great days. God just got a lot of plans and ideas and things for me to do, and I just get up and start doing them.
Feed My Sheep Ministries began, how many years ago did you have that first Sunday service at that apartment complex on the west side?
Oh boy, it's hard for me to remember. It had to be probably 10, 12 years ago, I would think.
At the time, you were the chaplain at the Fresno Rescue Mission. That was the place you came into when your life was in a shambles and got turned around, and eventually you became the chaplain. You served as a chaplain for about 10 years there, didn't you?
Served as a chaplain for the Fresno Rescue Mission for 10 years. Yes, I did.
And while you were still the chaplain at the mission, you began Feed My Sheep Ministry. What led you to see the need to start Feed My Sheep? I mean, what idea birthed it? Did it just drop into your heart one night, or what?
No, I really had no plans to start Feed My Sheep Ministry. I was just getting up, doing what I knew how to do to serve God. If you remember back, I don't know if you remember mentioning before, when I was a chaplain there, you know, the rescue mission would get in just tons of like day-old bread and cakes and pies, all kinds of things like that. And, you know, and I had an old pickup, and I would take that old pickup and load it up with those bread and cakes and pies and go out into low-income apartments where people was very poor and didn't have much, and just kind of distribute those bread and cakes and pies out.
You just did that on your own initiative because God said do it.
Yeah, I was just doing it to do something for God, do something for people. And one thing began to lead to the next thing. And it all happened. We started off at Dakota Woods, remember, in an apartment complex out there. Began to minister and have Bible study there on Wednesday night with all those folks there. And began to baptize people in the swimming pool, and it just developed, Ken. I came, you know, it was God's idea and His plan, and that's why where I'm at today.
The reason, just one of the reasons I appreciate the story of your ministry is because that's the way I'm wired, Bruce. I know they say you should have goals and set plans and everything, and obviously that's a very efficient way to live, but I'm more of a spontaneous, okay, I kind of know the direction I want to go in, but as I take the steps, God, go ahead and drop the things into my path. And that's what I appreciate about your story, because you were heading in the direction you were supposed to go, but man, you could never have conceived all that you were going to encounter along the way.
Not at all. I just, you know, and that just, you know, and that's true in all of our lives as Christians. We don't know exactly where God is taking us or what He wants us to do. You know, we can look at Abraham when God called him out.
Yeah.
And he didn't have the foggiest idea. He just got up and did as God said. Go.
Abraham, we might think that it's like, okay, we're in Fresno and God says, hop on a bus and go to Minneapolis. No, it was a far cry from that. When Abraham went, God said, go. I'm not going to tell you where you're going. He left civilization as he knew it. He left the means of support. He was totally and utterly clueless where he was headed.
Sure he was. And that's as it is, too, in our lives. You know, God don't always tell us exactly where we're going and what we're going to be doing exactly.
But we want to know, don't we? We want the 5-year and 10-year plan.
Sure we do. I guess God says, no, you just got to trust me.
If 10 or 15 years ago, Bruce, if God would have showed you all you're doing today here in 2013, would you have said, sure?
I don't believe that I would have said sure. I believe that I would have started doubting him like Moses. Well, I can't speak.
Don't you know who you're talking to, Lord?
Yeah. So, you know, that's probably why God don't just tell us everything, because we probably get start off with a lot of unbelief and can't do this, I can't do that.
Or you start sharing, if you sell the big plan, you start sharing with other people, and well-meaning people would come in and say, come on now, get real, you can't do that.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
You get that anyway, don't you?
Yes, you do. I do. Sometimes when God tells me something, and there's something God wants me to do, sometimes I can't even tell no one, you know, because, you know, all of our relationship with God is personal.
Right.
And there's things that God has shared with us, and He ain't told nobody else.
Right.
And someone else would think that you might be off your rocker a little bit. So there's some things, you know, that all of us, you know, we just kind of keep to ourselves and do what God tells us to do.
Mm-hmm. That's really a good lesson application for any of us as believers. Sure, there's some things we're supposed to tell everybody about, like the good news that man does not have to be separated from God because of sin. But there's certain things, like you said, that are on an individual basis. God says, kind of keep this under wraps for right now.
Yeah, you look at Joseph when he told his dream. That got him in a little bit of trouble.
Yeah. His brothers just embraced that revelation, didn't they?
Yeah, well, I think it was his whole family. Kind of looked at him like, you know, who do you think you are?
The next thing you know, they're going to Paul and saying, sorry, he got done eaten by wild animals.
Yeah. So we learn from stories like that in the Bible sometimes to be quick to listen and slow to speak.
Yeah. My pastor, dude, Dave Wainscott, he uses the expression, you know, where it says, be as gentle as doves, but as wise as a serpent. It said, be as gentle as a dove, but as sneaky as a snake. Not sneaky in a bad way, but, you know, have your wits about you.
Yeah, sure. You gotta use a wisdom in this thing with God, because, you know, the enemy's always awaiting.
Yeah.
And so I'm learning. I haven't learned it all, Ken, but I'm learning every day. Usually I learn the hard way, too.
You too, huh?
Yeah, I usually learn the hard way after I've made a ton of mistakes. And then dong.
There's a little picture that goes around on Facebook, and it says, you know, after I've made the mistake, I don't make it once or twice. I do it about 5 or 6 times just to make sure.
Yeah, man, amen. Yeah, so.
So here we are, the first weekend of February, as this is being aired, and What's cooking at Feed My Sheep Ministries? You're probably looking ahead to the warm weather months now, aren't you?
Well, you know, we're doing something new this year. I don't know if it's the right thing to do or the wrong thing. I hope it's not the wrong thing.
And in case anybody hears that and goes, no, wait a minute, Brother Hood, there's a scripture for that. They did what seemed right to them in the Holy Spirit.
What we are going to do, and we're planning, is take advantage of the Super Bowl day. And we are going to have a Super Bowl community party at our church. But it's just not going to be alcohol, no alcohol.
Right.
But we've got one of those real big, huge, giant, super giant screen TVs. And there was a donation that came in of all kinds of chicken and hot dogs. And
wow.
And so we're gonna be a barbecue in there and having a dinner and inviting the community over.
Wow.
To watch the Super Bowl with us.
Wow.
And hopefully through those efforts, we can get some people from the community to come back to church.
There you go.
So this is new for us. We never did it.
Wow.
But I've heard of other churches that done this before, and I've heard they've had great success.
This isn't the first time that the ministry has done something like this at their point of contact in West Fresno. Lemon and Plumas is where the church is located. You've done lots and lots of outdoor events. You've done things for the 4th of July. You've done things for Halloween Alternative. You've done Christmas food and gifts giveaway. You do food giveaways every week, don't you?
Yes, we do, Ken. Every Friday, we distribute out to probably 125 to 160 families. It's gone as high up to 160 families that we've distributed groceries out to.
So the people in the radius around that neighborhood, they know that it's a place to come to where God's blessing is. In fact, that's how the Women and Children's Ministry started, the shelter. A woman parked herself on the steps of the church one day with her children and said, I've got no place to go. Well, she knew where to come, didn't she?
Mm-hmm. Yes, she did. You know, and so as I look back now and see where we went with the women's home, I know that not only didn't she know where to go, but I know for sure that God sent her.
So one way to alert the neighborhood that there is help available, both physically and spiritually, is outreach events like this. Yeah, this is the first Super Bowl event you've done. So you got a big screen TV, and you're going to be feeding whoever shows up.
Yes, we are, Ken. We're going to try something new. If it works, glory to God. Amen. You know, we've gained. Our business here at the church is to win souls.
Yeah.
Win souls and then also to get them prepared for the coming of the Lord.
Yeah.
And so we just, you know, with all of our efforts, when we have car shows, when we have carnivals, feedings, and this Super Bowl party, the plot behind it is to reach out to lost souls.
Uh-huh. Yeah, there's obviously a draw with food and sometimes entertainment, and in the warm weather months, kids games and water slides and stuff like that. But it's never just for entertainment's sake.
Yeah, so you can count on it that whenever there's intermission, I'm gonna have a few words to say.
Every time one of those commercials comes on that they pay the big money for, commercials are going to be preempted by Pastor Hood.
Yeah, so we looking forward to it, and you know, and the whole church is really kind of motivated behind it because it's something new that we're doing, and you know, we just gonna get out there and see what God does.
Great. And I know what you folks do. I can probably guess. You don't just put a sign up and say, come and join us. You usually go out and you canvass the neighborhood.
We have already done that. We probably sent out about 400 flyers.
Yay.
We're going to send out some more. We put up a lot of the big 11 by 17 posters in the businesses around that neighborhood. They're always real friendly with us whenever we're having anything.
Good.
And they allow us to hang them up in their window. And so,
yeah.
And that's and then our billboard out in front of the church, we've got on the billboard. And so we hoping that all the good advertising bring in the folk.
Well, it only makes sense. If I had a business out there in that area, which is in the middle of gang territory, your church, is it still MODOK territory?
It's still MODOK territory, along with probably about five or six other gangs. There's probably about six gangs that's in that neighborhood there. You got from the MODOK boys, you got the Southerners and North Ninjas, Strata Boys, you name it. They all over there.
Usually named after the street that's their turf.
Well, yeah, some is named after the street, and then some is named like you have the Sereños. Those are considered the ones from down south.
Okay.
So, and they migrated here around Fresno. And the North Ninjas are the ones from the north. Those are all Mexican oriented gangs. And then you have a lot of the Asian gangs also.
Wow.
And so, in fact, Ken, there was a shooting at Villa Margarita, and it was a Asian, and an Asian woman was killed right there in her car. And I'm not sure, but they say it's probably gang related.
Wow.
So you know, you got every nationality. You got the white gangs, black gangs. Spanish, Orientals, man, everybody's got their clique.
Yeah, wherever you find broken human beings, no matter the ethnic origin or the color, you're gonna find gangs eventually.
Yeah, uh-huh. And over where we at, it seems like that's where some of all the gangs usually camp out. I don't know exactly why, but it is a campground for a lot of the gangs, and so they appear over there, and so we always have those issues to deal with over there, all the time, and so and I know that God put us there, so that we could be a light, right there in the midst of darkness.
Obviously, in the years you've been there, you've been at that location now for what, 6, 7, 8 years?
It's been at least 8 years, I would say.
Yeah. And you've obviously had lots of interaction with gang members, and so what's been your what's been the overall response when you deal with them?
Well, there's most of them they respect us. Because they know what we're doing. They know we dare to stand for God. But however, most of them that respect us don't really listen to what's good for them.
Yeah.
There's every once in a while we'll get a gang member here and there that's just he's ready to stop. He's ready to get out of it.
Yeah.
And sometimes they'll call me, because my phone numbers is everywhere, and sometimes they'll call me and I'll meet them somewhere and they'll share with me, Pastor Hood, I'm ready to get out of this, I don't know how. And so, and then I can begin to kind of make phone calls and try to get that person out of that environment and maybe get them in a program in another state or another city somewhere. And just get them away from that environment where they can begin to get their life put back together. And then a majority of them, they like diehards. That's just the way they're gonna stay.
Yeah.
And unless God does a miracle, they'll probably die out there.
The good part, you might say, the positive part is, as you said, they respect the ministry there. And they obviously do not perceive Feed My Sheep Ministries as a threat to their turf.
No, not at all. Not at all. In fact, many of them, families are there to receive food and things like that when we're giving out food.
Wow.
So, it's we made friends with them, but it's very, very difficult to get a lot of the gang members in that area to turn away from gangs.
Yeah.
And I think one of the reasons why is because there's so much peer pressure on them all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And so sometimes, when they're trying to get out of the gangs, you know, the other gang members will actually, you know, try to even, I've even heard they even killed them before, you know, for trying to get out of gangs.
Yeah, you'd mentioned that when you encounter a gang member who wants to get out, you mentioned maybe try to plug him into a program in another city or another state. There's a reason for that, like you said, because sometimes they say, no, you can't leave the gang. You're dead if you try to leave.
Yeah, and then not only with their own members of the gang they in, they got the rival gangs, too, to worry about.
Yeah.
And a lot of gang members are afraid to get away from protection. When they're around and they're amongst the other gang members, they feel a little bit of security.
Yeah.
You know, but once they get out on their own, you know, they always got that fear because those other gang members, you know who they are, that, you know, something could happen to them, you know.
Sounds like a great prayer opportunity for the folks that are in gangs and the folks that inevitably want to get out of gangs. It would involve a major upheaval in their lives. Obviously, it's a step in the right direction, but at the same time, a major upheaval because they would have to just get out of the environment entirely, like Bruce said, and maybe wind up in another state where nobody knows who they are to protect themselves from not only the former members of their own gang, but rival gang members.
Yeah. Usually you have to get them far away from that environment. You know, we've had a lot of success. There's ranches out in Bakersfield, what they have set up for men to go through rehabilitation and those kind of things. And so we usually try to get them out of Fresno to Bakersfield, Sacramento, even far as Los Angeles.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. In a place where they can't be found.
In a place where they can't be found, where none of the other gang members knows who they are,
right.
And you know, and so.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Makes sense to me. Bruce Hood, he mentioned the phone, and we heard the phone ringing. You can always reach him if you've got questions about the ministry, or I don't know, maybe you've got someone who's a family member or a friend who's in a gang who's ready to get out. Maybe he or she want to talk to Bruce Hood. His number in the 559 area code is 978-5469, 978-5469. That's the hotline to all things ministry.
Amen. That's the number.
We're down to about the last 6 minutes of the program, 5 to 6 minutes for this week, Bruce. But I'll kind of open the topic up. What might you want to talk about?
I often get calls from people listening, and they are listening to hear those names and those people that we're praying for so that they can pray. There's one prayer request that I have, though, even right now. It's on my heart real heavy. There's a man that's in our program, Brother Mike, and when I drove over to the inner city today and walked in, and he was just standing there with tears running down his face, and you know, and I asked him what was wrong, Mike, and he shared with me that his wife called and asked and said and shared with him that she wanted a divorce. And, you know, and him and his wife both were involved in drugs. And he came in there, and he's been very faithful and very loyal. He's such a good-hearted person. And that was one of the reasons why he came into the men's program, because he wanted his relationship built up with his wife. And we tried several times to get her into the women's home, but never really worked out. But I'd like to ask those listeners to pray for Mike, because he's really taking it hard right now.
Pray for Mike, because this is the type of thing the enemy could just really have a field day and say, well, you know, you might as well go back to the crummy lifestyle, because look what it's gotten you.
Yeah, and so we all gathered around him and prayed, and I shared with him when I was going through my program and stuff years ago. I kind of went through the same similar kind of like thing. So we was able to, you know, to share with Mike that, you know, that God's going to work it out some kind of way. We don't know exactly how or when, but we know we can trust God, you know, to work it out.
I've got a quick one, too. A friend on Facebook, a friend of a friend. This lady, her name is Amanda. She has some health issues, got married in recent months, turned out to be pregnant. And she was kind of concerned how she was going to deal with the health issues carrying a baby, but she was going to go for it. She just had posted today that she had her 8-week checkup and there was no heartbeat. Apparently, the baby had passed away inside of her sometime in the last day or two. So keep Amanda lifted up. That's I can't imagine the grief involved in that.
Yeah, that's something right there that's very touching, Ken. We never know how a mother feels when she loses a baby. Well, we know how mothers love their babies.
And here are this week's prayer requests. Delia has cancer, lupus, diabetes, and heart problems. Please pray for Delia as she faces a large mountain in her life. Cliff has a bullet lodged in his chest. Surgeons cannot remove it because it's too close to his heart. And that bullet lodged in his chest is causing complications with some paralysis in Cliff's body. So pray for Cliff, please. Carmen has been doing drugs for many decades. It has pretty much shattered her family. Carmen says she wants out of the drug lifestyle. So pray for Carmen and her family to be delivered, healed, and restored. Pastor Daniel Kariuki, he pastors West Fresno Baptist Church, a good friend of Pastor Bruce Hood's. He's facing many health issues. Please pray for Pastor Daniel Kariuki. And finally this week, Rachel had cancer. It was in remission, but now it has returned. So would you please lift up Rachel as well? Delia, Cliff, Carmen, Pastor Kariuki, and Rachel. Please pray for them. Thank you.
I could imagine this would be a good time to share with those folks listening that Ken Adams is actually going to start chemo tomorrow.
Tomorrow being Friday. So as you're hearing this, I've already done had it.
Yes, so keep him in prayer. The prayer is that the chemo works and the cancer be gone in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Well, there you have it. This week's broadcast from Feed My Sheep Ministries. God bless you. Godspeed. God's wisdom, Bruce.
Thank you, Ken, and God bless all you listeners out there. Keep praying for us as we keep moving for Jesus.
And thanks for joining us for this week's edition of the broadcast from Feed My Sheep Ministries of Fresno.